39 about songs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning and this good crowd that we have to come here and hear another portion of thy word. Be with us as we go through this service, Lord. Be it everything we do, be it according to thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Birthdays. Oh. What do you always got to be
with?
No, I guess
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Anybody have any announcements?
Jimmy, I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
Again, we want to thank Scott for being here today.
Absolutely.
And we're glad to have him, and thank you for coming, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
I've not talked to Jody, but she is doing good. I did send her some flyers from the church. I was going to send her a card today, but we're out of get well cards. All we've got is sympathy cards, so I thought I would.
We don't use
So next week we'll send her a card.
Okay, are we ready? The first song we have is Standing on the Pond.
No, we're going to communion and all that.
Oh. What is it? You didn't tell me.
224 communion song.
I told you that you got it. It's great. Okay. Nice to pay the one that's crossed. 224, let's stand.
Thank you for allowing us to be here today. We ask that you be with those that cannot, be those that have lost loved ones, Lord. We know, Lord, as we come here, we just see so much. There's so many floods, so much devastation, so much wars and stuff, God. But we know, though, God, that you loved us so much that all the sin that's in the world and the sin that we do, that you gave us a reason for us to have eternal life, and that was by putting your Son to the cross. And we would take of this bread that represents the broken body and the cup that represents the blood that was shed for this to happen. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come today, we pray that for the offering, Lord. We pray that you would bless the gift and the giver, Lord. We pray that it would be used to do your will here on earth, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you for your many blessings upon us, Lord. You blessed us more than we deserve, Lord. You blessed us with redemption, salvation, Lord. You made a way of our sins to be forgotten, forgiven, and never more in existence. Lord, as we look on the TV and the news, we see a lot of destruction, a lot of pure evil, Lord. And sometimes that can overtake us, Lord. But today, we want to thank you for the peace that you give us, Lord. Lord, when we're in prayer in our quiet time, and we're totally focused on you, Lord, you just encompass us with a peace beyond understanding, Lord. And today, we want to give you thanks for that peace that you give us while we communicate with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
First song will be 122, Standing on the Promises, first and last verse. We got at Calvary, 524, first and last. Prayer song be number 315, Rock of Ages, let's stand.
Let us go to the Lord.
Dear Lord, thank you once again for this beautiful day. We come to you first and foremost, dear Lord, giving you all the praise and all the glory, dear Lord, for all things that you provide. And ask that you forgive us, dear Lord, we fail to stop and take a look around, dear Lord, and see those blessings that you've laid at our feet. Ask that you allow the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to indwell this church this morning, dear Lord, your house. Allows your word to come forward, dear Lord. Allow me to stand behind the cross. And your message come forth, dear Lord. I ask a blessing be placed upon each and every member that's here today, dear Lord. I also ask that you allow a blessing be placed upon those who are unable to be with us. As always, dear Lord, we tell you thank you. We can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to that cross so many years ago, dear Lord, to pay for our sins, to give us salvation, dear Lord, and a chance to live in eternity with you in heaven. As always, we tell you thank you for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us. And ask for your continued guidance and healing powers. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our one true risen Lord. Amen.
I believe my steps are growing wearier each day. I've got another journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. My one regret is leaving you behind. If it proves to be His will that I am first to cross, and somehow I've a feeling it will be. Oh, and when it comes your time to travel, likewise don't feel lost, for I will be the first one that you'll see. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. Through this life we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. So I'll just rest here on this shore, turn my eyes away, until you come and we'll see paradise. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
Amen. Good morning. For those who weren't here the first time I was able, first and foremost, let me tell you thank you for allowing me to come back and preach in God's house. It's always an honor to be able to stand up and do His word. But my name is Scott Bokris. I serve at Bethel Christian Church right now as elder. My family's been here for about 9 years. Was asked to come and preach at Little Hickman, I guess, about a month ago. And I was graciously asked to come back and preach again. So, again, praise be to God. Give Him all the glory. Graduate of Jessamine County, so we can, I guess, laugh about it. I graduated with Christy, but so I never thought in my wildest dreams at 53, almost 54 years old, that I would be behind a pulpit and delivering God's Word. God has a funny way of using knuckleheads to do His work. So if anything good comes out of this, I give all the glory to God. If anything bad comes out of this, if you don't receive a blessing from this, it all comes from me. So, I heard this little story on K-Love the other day, and I'm going to share this real quick before we get into our message. There was this beach that was covered in starfish. And there was this little girl who was walking down the beach and pitching them in. So this guy walks up and sees this little girl pitching these starfish into the ocean. He's going, "What in the world is she doing?" So he walks down and he says, "Why are you pitching, you know, these starfish back in? It's not going to make a difference." As she pitched another one in, said, "Made a difference to that one." Pitched another one in, said, "Made a difference to that one." I just thought it was, I mean, I heard that earlier in the week. Doesn't really go with the message, but as Christians, I think that's what we have to do. You think the one kind word or the one thing that you say or the one word about God to that one person may make that difference. It may, you may be put in that person's life to be their key to salvation. Not that you're saving them, but God is using you in that way. You may be the one that makes the difference. So don't think that little acts that you do mean nothing, because they mean everything to God. And again, all the glory goes to Him. So where I'm going to go this morning, the good Lord seems to keep on keeping me in the Old Testament for whatever reason. We do know the New Testament. I talked about this the last time, that the Old and New Testament are always the story of Jesus Christ. I think He's trying to educate me a little bit more how it all just blends together. So Psalm 34 is the, again, it's a song. Psalms is nothing but songs. Again, this is a Psalm of David when he's hiding out in a cave. But to give you a little kind of history behind, it starts in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. And it says, "Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish, and said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" So what had happened is that David was set to be the king of Israel. Saul wasn't having that. Although they had used him to use this little shepherd boy to kill Goliath not so long ago, but when David was rising up, Saul was not happy about that. So he was seeking to try to kill him. So David, in his infinite wisdom, escaped and went to Achish, which is the home, went to Gath, which is the home of where Goliath was from. They took him before the king, and then the only way that God saw fit to get David out of this situation was for him to act like a madman, go crazy. Well, the king didn't want that. So they kick him out of the city, and this is where Psalm 34, that was kind of the prelude behind that. So Psalm 34 is David hiding in the cave. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast into the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So with that, David's saying, give praise to the Lord at all times. He had just come where he's going to be king of Israel, had to escape, had to act like a crazy man, went to hide in a cave. Now this is supposed to be the new king of Israel. But he's not whining, he's not crying. What does he say? "Thanks be to the Lord. Thank you so much for giving me a way out." And that's what we have to do as Christians. I'm not saying that you have to be happy in all situations, but we all have to give the glory to the Lord, because without the Lord, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. In our good days and our bad days, the Lord is always there. He is directing each and every one of our paths. And this is what David, I think that's why I kind of admire David the most. If we read Psalms and even in Samuel where it's talking about David, David messed up a lot. But he always came back to the Lord. And as Christians, that's what we have to do. We always have to come back. The good days. Hey, Lord, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're awesome. In the bad days. Hey, Lord, guess what? Messed up today. But guess what? You're still awesome. I appreciate the opportunity for me to learn from these mistakes, to learn from what has happened, to continually direct me to where I need to go. Because God has got this plan. He's got it all ironed out. We're the ones who don't know what's going on. Just like me up here today. I have fought this message for 2 weeks now. Fought it this morning drinking coffee. Finally, I just went out on the back porch, sat there, watched the hummingbirds and stuff, and said, okay, it is what it is. The good Lord will take it. And whatever comes out, comes out. And that's where we have to do as Christians. We have to get to a point where we just give it up. We have to surrender. We have to humble ourselves and let God lead the way. But in all times, give Him the glory for that. We don't have the ability to do this. And that's where we get in trouble as Christians. We think that we have the ability. We think we have the power to do this. No. Right here, the good Lord Jesus Christ has this ability. And give thanks to Him and only Him for all things. Back to Psalms, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all fears. They looked at Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Don't worry about it. Now, this is coming from a guy, and you can ask my wife and my mother-in-law, my kids and Skylar and Claire. You can ask them. As a man, I worry about everything. As a dad, I worry about everything. And you know what Kelly tells me? Well, you just quit. Leave it alone. God's got this. On the way here this morning, quit worrying about this. God will take care of this. God will deliver you from this. And that's what He tells us in the book. He tells us, be anxious for nothing. He always points us in a direction where we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't fear. We are God's people. And if we are God's people, there's nothing on earth that can do anything against us. You may kill the mortal body, but being a saved Christian, we know where we're going to end up. And that's, to me, that's not a bad thing. That's an awesome thing. And that was given for a people that didn't deserve it. He paid for a sin that we couldn't pay. Our body couldn't pay for that. He had to send His Son, Jesus Christ, a long time ago to pay for that sin. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and deliver Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything, any good thing. John 6:35 tells us, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, I am the bread of life. He is our food. He is the living water. This is the living water. These words are the living water. Again, He tells us not to worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about the world. The good Lord will take care of that for us. I am the bread of life. And I've eaten some pretty good bread in my time, but the bread of life, that's pretty awesome. As you take communion every Sunday, the little wafers, or depending on what church you're in, the biscuits or whatever, the body of Jesus Christ. It's a representation, but when you take that, you're saying, I honor you. Thank you for the body that was broken. This is the bread. As you take this in, you're reliving yourself. You're reviving yourself with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of times, people just use this as a, you know, we take this once a Sunday. We do this every so often. But if you really and truly look at it, think about what it is. It's a bread of life. a life that was broken and beaten and lost for us. Now, I don't know how many of you all think, and I don't usually think too highly of myself, but I don't think that I was worth that. I'm not sure how many of you all think that you are. Now that Jesus Christ has me, oh yeah, I'm worth that. He paid a price that was huge, that we couldn't pay. How many of you all would take your child, and if they were asked, well, you know, I need you to sacrifice your child so that this one may live. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my one great-grandchild, my soon-to-be next grandchild. I'm not sure I could have done that. So think about that price. Think about when he says, I am the bread of life. He's telling you not to eat of his body. That's not what he's saying. He's saying he is the fuel to feed us, to carry us, the water to replenish our souls. As humans and as Christians down here, I think we get caught up in a day-to-day routine that everything is just mundane, everything is normal. But that goes back to the very beginning. It all starts with Him. It all starts with the good Lord. It starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with Jesus Christ and ends with Jesus Christ. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So, again, it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think, again, this is where he's trying to teach me how they coincide or how they act. Because when I read that last word, I said, I've read that in the New Testament before. So, it's in 1 Peter in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And this is talking about evil. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against all who do evil. So, again, I think we talked about this the last time, cutting people off in traffic and, you know, how we shouldn't tell them how wonderful they are. The good Lord tells us that we should, you know, do good. Try not to do evil. And it's hard in this world. It is very hard. Day to day we're compounded. Talked about it earlier. Talked about the news. You can't turn on the news without seeing something bad. You used to just watch it to watch the local news. Even that's gotten to a point to where it's not great anymore. It's shooting here or abduction here or drugs here, and it's bad. It's evil. And everything that's evil is an enemy of Jesus Christ. But we know, and again, back to this, we know that before our good Lord comes back, this has to happen. So maybe we shouldn't not watch the news. I try not to watch it because it puts me in a bad mood, and then that makes it hard on everybody else I have in my household. But maybe we should watch. Maybe we should be watching. You know, it tells us to be aware at all times because we never know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. There'll be signs in the heavens. There will be signs on earth. Maybe these are the signs. The evil coming back into the world. As Christians, we need to portray that light. We have to be the good in a world of evil. He tells us, refrain from doing evil. Refrain your mouth from doing evil. Which is even harder a lot of times with us. You know, it's also said that if you thought it, you might as well have said it, because one's as good as, because God knows all. And I guess I'm not really ashamed, or, well, maybe I'm ashamed of it. Not afraid to tell you that, you know, I am a sinful man. Even though I stand behind one of these, it makes me no different than what you all are sitting in the pews. It's just I think I have a different calling, maybe a different request upon my life. But my mouth can get me into trouble. I think we were talking about that this morning. My mouth can be bad. And that's bad for me to be standing up here preaching to you all and telling you, you know what? As a preacher, which I wear that term loosely at this point in time, I like to bust a few four-letter words every so often when I get mad. Now, I immediately ask for forgiveness. And I guess I'm trying to be truthful and honest with you that all Christians fail. But we have to realize that the one Redeemer paid for all that. Not that that's a card and get out of jail free card, but that's a point to tell you that he realized that we weren't going to be able to. The Ten Commandments were destroyed. That was the old covenant. Jesus Christ paid for a new covenant, realizing that we would never be righteous. There's no not righteous, not one, except for Jesus Christ. He is the one pure soul. We are the ones who fail every day. You get up this morning, I was aggravating and about trying to get this message. Frustrated. You go through life like that. I'm just telling us that the good Lord has told us that when these situations arise, turn to Him. Ask Him. Let Him direct your paths. Let Him keep you from doing evil. And then if it happens, go humbly before the Lord and not tell Him, you know, dear Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize. And that's my biggest fear, being behind the pulpit, is not necessarily making a fool of myself, because I've done that enough in my lifetime. Good ways, bad ways. My biggest fear behind the pulpit is embarrassing Him. In my life, I think when I ask for forgiveness, it's because I've embarrassed the Lord. I'm not thinking about who I've embarrassed myself in front of. I gave it up a long time ago, I think, of being embarrassed in front of people. Playing sports and doing that kind of thing and growing up, you kind of lose that ability to be embarrassed easily, I guess. But so we'll go back to Psalms. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as a contrite spirit. So John 14:13. So in John, this is written in red. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the dear Lord, we pray a lot of times. Again, we talk about just like communion, a lot of times it's just out of repetitive nature. But when we truly get down and humble ourselves and cry out to the Lord, He hears. Maybe not and get the actions that we're expecting, but He does hear us. But I think it is very important that when we do pray, we ask in Jesus Christ's name, because that is our Redeemer, that is our Lord. He is the one who can answer these prayers. We got our God the Father, we have Jesus Christ our Redeemer, we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the Helper. We have three in one. That's pretty awesome. three helpers that can do anything, as long as it's in their will. But you have to humble yourselves and go to them wholeheartedly, from your heart. Jesus Christ knows your heart. He knows your mind. So if you're going to Him haphazardly, I'm not saying that He doesn't hear, because yes, He hears. But it may not be answered the way you want it to be answered. Even if He hears, it may not be answered the way you want it to be answered. Sometimes we ask for certain things to be done, and it's not in His will, not in His story, not in His power, or to make it His glory. Because I think that's what happens. When we do things in His will, in His honor, it's done to His glory. When we do things selfishly, that's done to our glory. And Jesus Christ is nowhere to be seen in that. Even though there are some who claim Jesus Christ, who claim God, and in the name of God, but walk around in a selfish and a one-sided nature, does God really receive that glory? When you truly do what the good Lord asked you to do, and you truly get down on your knees and cry out to the Lord, God, please help me. I need your help. I need an answer. I need something. Just show me. Just show me something. I do believe He hears those. I believe He takes those out. I believe He picks and He chooses in His path to, this is going to bring the glory. This is going to show how truly powerful the good Lord is. We talked about this the last time, the last week with my father. He showed me how powerful He was, which is pretty awesome. Up until that point, I was kind of like everybody else. I'd kind of walked and, dear Lord, you know, I really need this. I'm going to do this. I need this. But when I truly humbled myself and got down on my knees and begged Him, Lord God, give me the strength. I need your help. But I also ask for His will to be done. And you've got to be careful with that, because you've got to be able to live with the will, His will, not your will, to be done in each and every circumstance. I think our God hears each and everything, even when we're not praying. I think the good Lord hears that. And when we're doing certain things, I think He's already directed that path. I think He's pointed us in that direction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken, even shall slay the wicked. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So John 3:16 tells us that the Lord sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. He sent His only begotten Son to save us. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what this is about. This whole book is about salvation. From Genesis to Revelation is about salvation. And I do truly believe that if you're preaching God's Word and you don't preach about salvation, I think you're preaching it wrong. My opinion. But everything that you preach, as long as you come from the pulpit, there should be a word about salvation somewhere in this message. Because that's what God told us to do, to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to bring others to Christ. We talked about this the last time I was here, that before Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were nothing. They had nothing. But we have that now. We have the ability to be saved. And I look across the congregation, and it's great to see young people in here, because I think we're in a society now where it's not... I can remember as a kid going with my grandparents to church. My grandfather being an elder in church. My grandmother, you know, and the ladies of the church. But that's not, you know, I think in today's society that's not common. So as Christians, we have to pray, we have to preach salvation. And each and every one of you all can do it. It doesn't take a pastor to save somebody. It doesn't take a minister to save somebody. It takes a Christian to save somebody. Just like each and every one of you, if you're saved, you have the ability through the Holy Spirit to be able to lead that salvation, to lead that person through the sinner's prayer and give them salvation. Because that's what we want. We want a heaven that's bursting at the seams. And to be rescued from a world that's bursting with nastiness and evil. Salvation for the lost, they don't understand this word. That's why it's our job as Christians to help to make them understand. Like I said, today this message is all over the place. And I know it seems like I'm rambling, but he's telling me, for whatever reason, to talk about salvation. Again, I come from Bethel. Every year we go to the river to have baptisms. Again, and I'm not building Bethel up. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show you God's glory. Because we had people who go to Bethel. We had some people who didn't go to Bethel. But that day we had 25 river baptisms. Not talking about the number, but that is awesome. As a Christian, to see 25 people go to the river and get washed and come out. And I'm going to be completely honest, I was one of those 25. Because I felt, before I continued down a path that He might be delivering me to, I really need to clean myself up a little bit. Not that I'll ever be clean enough to do His work, but it felt right to be able to cleanse my body, to cleanse my mind, to cleanse my soul, and to re-proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And to thank Him for what He did for me so many years ago. He is an awesome God, and I give Him all the praise and all the glory for all things. I guess it's really weird. I really wish He would tell me exactly what He wanted me to say. Other than preach His word. Maybe that's what the message is today. As common people, which is what I am, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to somebody about your Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to get up behind here. You don't have to wear a polo and dress pants and dress shoes or carry a Bible with you. You've already been saved. What more do you need? You've got the Word of Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit indwelled in you. He told you, go out, baptize in my name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So go out. Be like that little girl with the starfish. Make a difference. Maybe that's where it came back in. That's kind of weird, but maybe that's where it came back in. Go out and make that difference. Go out and do something. Preach Jesus Christ. Preach the Word. And bring others to God. Because only through you all can they get the Word, because there's ways. Billy, and I don't mean to call you out, but you reach people that I can't reach. Jimmy, you reach people I can't reach. There's people in this audience that I can't get to. That's your job. He has designated you, and there may be that one person that you might make that difference by pitching that starfish. So maybe that's the message for today. Maybe that's what it was. Make a difference. Be that one difference, that one individual. You know, praise be to God. I know it's quick, and it's not all the way through, but the Lord's telling me to be quiet. And just to leave you with that, thank you all for the opportunity. I hope a blessing came from this. I don't know. It was probably one of the hardest I've done for whatever reason, because I had no idea where he was leading. So I apologize if I rambled and went on. But just make a difference, everybody. Do God's work and give Him the glory and praise for everything, good times and bad times. Thank you.
Once again, we'd like to thank you, Scott, for coming and giving us a good message right straight out of the Bible. We appreciate you and your family coming.
No, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Praise be to God.
Station song will be number 312. I'm coming home. First and last.
Now life's funny.
Again, thank you all. It truly is a blessing being in God's house and be able to deliver a message to His people. I'm not worthy, so I do thank you for the chance, the opportunity to do this. Before we leave, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you again telling you thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come into your house, dear Lord, and hear a message, dear Lord, that I hope I delivered that came straight from you. I give you all the praise and all the glory, dear Lord, for that. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body, whose blood was shed so many years ago, dear Lord, for the remission of our sins. I ask that you allow traveling mercies, dear Lord, as we depart from your house here today. I ask that you see us safely back in next week, dear Lord, to hear your word again. I ask that you continue to watch over this church, dear Lord, as they continue to go down the path, dear Lord, that you laid in front of them. You blessed them, dear Lord, for so many years with Brother Lee, dear Lord. And right now I know they've got questions. They have issues, dear Lord. And I just ask that you deliver them, dear Lord. Point them in the direction they need to go, dear Lord. Allow them to rely on you and only you, dear Lord, in all things. Ask a blessing be placed upon each and every person and family that's represented here today, dear Lord. And look over those who are unable to be with us until we can meet again. As always, we tell you thank you for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us, and ask for your continued guidance and healing powers. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.